Are you enjoying the cold weather? No and yes. Okay. What about staying home? I know the kids got excited because they got another day off. This has been a weird year for me. We had our COVID quarantine because I got COVID and we were in our house for 10 days. And then we had the first freeze and we were stuck in our house. And now the second freeze, we got stuck in the house. And every time we get stuck in the house, my wife bakes desserts. And it's like a nonstop during the COVID. I think she did a different one every day. And I'm trying not to eat them all. But the problem is if you waste food, that's not good. And I don't like to waste. And so I have to make sure all of the desserts get eaten, and that's right, you don't waste. None of us like waste, do you? I don't. I hate it when waste happens, and one time I was with some friends, when I was in college, I had this friend who cooked the best brownies, okay, the best brownies, they were famous in our college, and so I was in my dorm with my four roommates, and a couple of them came over, and she came over, and she cooked these brownies, and they smelled delicious. Y'all know when you smell something, you just have to have it, and so she got them already, she got them out of the oven, and I had Tracy make brownies so I could really feel this illustration, and and so, you know, I might have to make sure they don't get wasted later, but so she took those out of the oven, and she set them on the stove to cool, and I had a friend who had to go cook him some pasta or something, so he put water on the stove and turned on the burner to heat up his water, but he turned the wrong knob, right? And nobody knew he had turned the wrong knob. We were all sitting in the kitchen, and I don't know if you have heard glass explode, but it is a pretty loud sound. The glass thing literally exploded, okay? I mean, I'd never seen it in that many pieces. Like, could not believe it. I actually considered hitting this with a hammer this morning to really demonstrate, but it's not the youth service, so I decided to tone it down, okay? And don't think I wouldn't go there. I've hit iPads with hammers. I've hit all kinds of things with hammers. So it exploded, and I remember standing over it going, oh, such a waste. I mean, such delicious gone. And one of my friends tried to eat it, and we're like, dude, if you eat glass, you're going to the emergency room. Stop. But it was a waste. It was over. It was gone. And I don't know if you, I know you hate waste, and you don't like it when people waste your time. Am I right? And you've been in the left lane, if they're going under the speed limit, you instantly become enraged. Like, what is wrong with me? Like, I'm so mad at this person, this blue car. Okay, whatever it is, and you're mad and just this, you're wasting my time. If you've been at a stoplight anytime, you know, recently you've had this happen, the person is in front of you, and what are they doing when it turns green? Don't know on their phone. And then you got to give them the Christian honk, okay? That's the short one. Beep, okay? If it's long, it's rude, right? Like, that's like, moron. But the short one, beep, that's like, please move, okay? That's what that one means. Mine actually, my car's kind of fun. It has a setting. Mine can go da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And so I do that, and hopefully they laugh and get out of my way. And that's the idea, because we don't like it when people waste our time. And you don't like wasting money either, I bet. If you're like me, I hate wasting money. In fact, yesterday, me and my wife went somewhere for lunch, and I ordered my food, and I got a soda. And because a fountain drink soda is like one of my favorite things, okay? I just love a fountain drink soda. So I get it, and I go over to the machine, there's no ice. And so I fill it up, and it's lukewarm, and it's gross. So I go back to the counter, I'm like, y'all have ice? You have ice back here? It's like, no, we don't have ice. It's like, this is gross. I can't drink this. I paid for this. Here's a cup for water. They didn't even offer me a refund. I went back to the table, and I said, we're not coming back here. For $1.50, we are not coming back to this restaurant because they wasted my money and it irritated me. Does it irritate you when people waste your money? It does me. And here's the thing. I know that we don't like waste, but here's the thing. If you waste food, okay, we live in America, there will be more food, right? Okay, there's always going to be more food. If you waste some money, you can make more money. Now, if you waste a lot, it might take a while, but you can make more money. But if you waste your life, you can't get it back. When we waste a season or a period of our life, we can only look back and go, I wish. We cannot get that back. And I think this happens. Nobody sets out to waste their life. Nobody goes, you know what, I'm just going to totally blow the next 10 years, okay? I want to look back and totally regret this, okay? Nobody wants to waste a season or their life. But how much of the time can we look back and go, man, I wish I wouldn't have done all that. I wish I would have treated my time different. I wish I would have spent more time with my kids. I wish I wouldn't have prioritized the wrong things. And we look back and we go, I wish I wasted. And we want to not waste. And I want to talk about how to not waste your life. And on the flip side of that, I want to talk about how to live with purpose and meaning, okay? Because you can't not waste your life if you're not living with meaning and purpose. So we have to have meaning and purpose in our life. And if we have meaning and purpose, guess what you're not going to do? You're not going to waste your life. So we're going to talk about how to not waste it, not to waste your life, because like I said, you can't get it back. So I want to do this by looking in, actually we're going to look at two passages. If you brought your Bible and you like to follow along, we're going to be in James chapter 4 for the most of it, okay? James chapter 4, and then we're also going to be in Matthew 6. So we're going to be in those two passages today, and James is a really neat book. It's one of my favorite books of the Bible. It's extremely practical. If reading the Bible is difficult to you, I encourage you to read that one first and just spend some time there. What's really neat about to me, James is Jesus's brother, okay? He's like in the house growing up with Jesus, like homeschooling with Jesus. Like, how do you ever get a good grade next to him? I don't know, but he's like with Jesus growing up, doing life, okay? And then he sees his brother die on a cross, and then he sees his brother resurrected from the dead, and he's like, wow, my brother is the Son of God, okay? And then now we have a letter that James wrote to Christians. That's incredible. And we get to read from it and learn truths from it. So we're going to look in James chapter 4. We're going to start in verse 13. And here it is. Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go and do this or that. Go to this or that city, spend a year there, and carry on business and make money. Now, if I just stopped there, I would have thought the next sentence he would have said, good job, right? Now, the reason I say that is because I work with teenagers a lot and young adults a lot, and none of you are this, but I encounter this a lot, okay? I say, well, what are you going to do when you graduate? I don't know. Well, are you going to go to college? Maybe. Are you going to get a job? I don't know. What are you going to do? And like, so oftentimes, like, no plan. And they're in their 20s, like, what are you doing? It's like, kind of figuring it out, you know. And they're just going here, and it's like, no plans, nothing like that. And I'm like, you need to get a plan. You need to go do something. And I read this, I'm like, this guy's got it together. He's going to go to that city. He's going to make some money. He's got a plan. He's got a thing. But James says, why? You don't even know what's going to happen tomorrow. Why? Like, you remember last year, COVID-19? COVID-22 is coming, it could all fall apart. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's like, why? You don't know what's going to happen. It could all get worse. Why plan? Is that what he's saying? Okay, is he saying that we shouldn't plan? That you shouldn't have any ideas? Okay, this is, you got to be careful when you read that you don't just listen and take these two verses and make up your own idea of what he's trying to say, because you can get really messed up. I can guarantee you the Bible does not teach you not to plan and not to have goals and dreams and those kind of things, okay? I mean, all through the Proverbs, it talks about wisdom of planning for the future, okay? Jesus talked about knowing the planning. And so, in fact, one of my favorite verses, okay? The prudent see danger and take refuge. The simple keep going and suffer for it. It's in Proverbs, okay? The prudent see danger and take refuge. The simple keep going. My image in my mind is always some guy driving his car towards a cliff, okay? And he's just driving straight towards it. And his friend's like, you see that, right? You see that, right? He's like, it'll be okay, okay? And he gets to the cliff, you know what happens? He's like, oh, I didn't expect that, okay? And because he saw something and he just kept going like it's not gonna happen. The prudent person goes, I should probably turn, okay? I should probably go a different direction, okay? And what is that person doing? They're looking ahead and they're seeing things in the future and they're making decisions based, and they're changing, okay? You see how we make plans and we change based on what we're seeing in the future? So he's not saying that, but what is he saying? That there's something wrong with this first guy's attitude. Okay, he has a couple of wrong attitudes, and we see it, and we think, this is great. He's got a plan. He's going somewhere. He's going to make some money. He's doing it, but there's some wrong attitudes, and we start to get into it here, and I'm going to skip part of a verse and come back to it because it's going to be real important, but I'm going to show you what he says next. He said, instead of saying what he did say, he said, you ought to say, if it's the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast and brag, and all such boasting is evil. Now, I don't think that James is giving us a literal thing that we're supposed to say every time we talk about the future. Do you imagine listening to the video announcements every Sunday? After the service, if it's the Lord's will, go to the Welcome Center if you're new. And if it's the Lord's will, I'm going to give you a cup. And then you meet your friend and you say, hey, if it's the Lord's will, do you want to go to Rosa's? Because if it's the Lord's will, I want a burrito, okay? It's like, are we supposed to just say if it's the Lord's will all the time, or is it an attitude of our heart? I think it's an attitude of our heart. And where we see in the first guy, his attitude was, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, and I've got this plans, and there's no consideration in his life for what is God's will for me. I'm just going to go make this money. I got this cool stuff I'm going to go do. And there's no consideration of what does God have for me, what is his will. And whereas this person's like, this person has a different attitude. This person's attitude is different. It is this: I don't want to do anything if it's not God's will for me. That person's attitude is this: this is some dreams, this is stuff I'm going to do, but you know what? I don't want to do anything if it's not God's will for me. In fact, the easy thing to do would be just to take the thing away and look, do it like this. I don't want to if it's not God's will for me. Now, if you started to say that, that would change the way you live your life. And some of them would be really, really difficult, okay? I don't want to take that job if it's not God's will for me. But it makes three times as much as I'm making right now. But I don't want to take that job if it's not God's will for me. I don't want to move if it's not God's will for me. You're single. I don't want to get married if it's not God's will for me. I don't want to date this person if it's not God's will for me. I don't want, okay, and if we begin to say this, I don't want to go to that college. I don't want to take that job. I don't want to go, okay, I don't want to do this if it's not God's will for me. That's a different attitude. That's a different way of living than the way so many of us do. A life that is focused on the wrong things is a wasted life. If you have a focus on wrong things, it's a wasted life. Now, wrong things are not necessarily bad things. Okay, I very intentionally did not put a life focused on bad things. Bad things are wrong things, okay? But not all things that are the wrong focus are bad. Okay, a job is a good thing. But if it's the focus of your life, it's the bad. It's not meant to be, okay? It's not to be our main focus. Now, we're kind of taught that all growing up. If you, from when you're very, very little, success is what job are you going to have? They ask little kids, what are you going to be when you grow up, right? If you go down there to elementary, you can already start telling them. They'll be like, I'm going to be an astronaut, and I'm going to be a fireman. You ask the preschoolers, like, I'm going to be a dinosaur, okay? I think my son wants to be a car when he grows up, but we'll get out of that. But what do they want to be when they grow up? And it's the same now, right? You meet somebody new, and what do they ask you? What do you do? That's the first thing people say to me if I meet somebody new. They say, what do you do? And they don't mean, what do I like to do for fun? What are my hobbies? And they don't mean anything like that. They mean, what is your job? By the way, I have the most awkward one. You should tell somebody you're a pastor and just watch how the whole conversation gets awkward from then on. I mean, people start changing everything about them. I'm at the gym one time, and this guy, he's talking to me, and his language was not real good. You know, he's, and then he, finally he says, oh, so boy, what do you do? And I was like, here we go. I was like, oh, I'm a youth pastor. Oh, yes, I remember when I was going to church back in the... And all of a sudden, he talks with better diction. His whole, like, vocabulary changes. I'm like, okay, this just got weird. Okay, but people, this is what they want to know. They want to know, what do you do? Why? Because, well, that tells me a lot about you. That tells me if you're successful. Are you doing this? And we kind of, we get our identity wrapped in our job and what we do like that, but that is not where we're meant to find purpose. It's not a bad thing. It's just a wrong place to find the purpose in our life. But a different thing is true, that a life focused on the will of God is a life full of purpose. If we focus your life on the will of God, it's full of purpose and it's full of meaning and it's not going to be wasted. But it's so easy for us to focus on the wrong thing. And so this is James talking about it. Now I want to look at what Jesus said about this focusing thing, about us looking at the wrong things. We're going to come back to James because there's my favorite part of it's not even here yet. But I want to show you some things of Jesus. This is Matthew 6 and verse 19. He said, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth. Okay, so we have treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. So you got treasures on earth and you've got treasures in heaven. Okay, the two things here. He says, where moth and rust destroy and thieves break in. Or these do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So Jesus talks about earthly treasure and heavenly treasure. And here's what we tend to do if we're not careful. We make the focus of our life storing up things here on earth. How much more money can I make? Can I get a career advancement? Can I move up to the next level? Did my kids get into the best school? We go on and on. We're storing up these treasures and treasures, and we ignore the treasures in heaven. We ignore the things that God have us to do. And if we're not careful, we will waste whole seasons pursuing the wrong treasures in our life. He kind of makes it more clear, I think, in a couple of verses. He says, no one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. And he gives this great example of two masters, that we have God and money. And here's the reason you can't serve two masters. Because at some point, they will come in conflict with each other, right? And the one that you go with is your actual master. You can't have two. There's one that you will go with. And this is how it looks. If making more money or doing what God asked you to do come in conflict with each other, and you choose more money, you found who your master was. God's supposed to be our master. Now, some people say, well, nobody's my master. Then you're not saved because Jesus is our master, okay? But he's our master. And here's the thing. So many things will come in conflict sometimes with what he has for us to do. And if we choose something over him, we've made that thing a master over Jesus. And so what we need to do is not let anything become our master. Now, the next verse is a verse I've taught a lot of times that I've never connected it with this verse, but I should have connected it because he says, therefore. If my clicker would work. Okay, there it goes. I'm going to use this one. Therefore. So, in light of the fact that there is heavenly treasure and earthly treasure, in light of the fact that I can serve God or I can serve money, he says, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life. For this is what we tend to do, right? We worry about our life. What else will we worry about, right? I'm going to worry about my life. What you will eat or drink or about your body, what you will wear, is not the life more important than food? Is not your life more important than food and the body more important than clothes? And when we know that, your life is more important than the stuff that you have. Your life is more important than those things. He says we don't have to worry about those things. Here's what we tend to do, though. That's what we worry about because those things tend to become our focus. Those things tend to become what is, and they're not bad. Money's not bad. Money's good to have, okay? It makes life a lot easier when you have money. But it is a bad master, and it is not a good focus. Having a good job is good. I am thankful for a good job. But if it's the master or the focus of my life, that's not the right focus. A good hobby is fun to have, but it's not to be the focus of our life. It's a way that we can waste our life. And so he kind of concludes this. He talks a lot about worry, okay? And if you deal with that, I encourage you to read this passage. And he kind of concludes it with this. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. And there's the alternative. Instead, we seek his kingdom. We seek his will. We seek him. We seek his righteousness. And all these things will be added. The other stuff, it takes care of itself when we seek him first and we make him the priority. Now, as I was reading this in my personal devotion a few weeks ago, it just really hit me as I read this do not worry and passage and the stuff before as a parent. Because, okay, parent, if you are a parent, this is, you'll understand this. You want your kids to be successful, don't you? I mean, it starts young. I mean, I was getting my daughter in elementary school, and people are like, you might need to consider going to this good one downtown. Okay, this one, you have to apply, and you have to do all that stuff. I was like, oh, do we need to get her in the good one? I mean, I don't want her to have the bad one. Like, and so we start, you got to be in this school, and then it starts, they're that little, and then they get older, and I got to have them in this league, and in that league, and you know, that team, that's the best select team. You got to make sure they're on that team. I know it costs you like a half a year's salary, but you got to be on that team, and then, you know, we got to get into this place and make sure they get on this whatever, and then hopefully they'll be able to get a scholarship to this college, and it's, we want them to be successful. And I think that's good. But to me, it's sad when we get so focused on those things and we think that that will make them successful and we ignore their relationship with Jesus. When making sure we're at every single ball game, we can't miss one. I mean, the coach will be mad and they'll let down their team. Church, if we can make it. What signal does that send to to your kids? And that's not something I want to teach my kids, that first is a relationship with God, and second is everything else. If my daughter makes it into Harvard with a full scholarship and doesn't know Jesus, that would be the worst thing. I'd rather anything else than that. Okay, that is not success. But when we talk about success and life and meaning, those are the things we tend to talk about, not what somebody's doing for the kingdom of God. And so we have to focus, and that's true for our own lives, that we focus on the things that are of the kingdom of God. If we focus on the wrong things, it's a wasted life. But if you focus on God's will, then we will have a life of meaning and purpose. So I'm going to go back to James, because that's half of the equation. If you focus on the wrong thing, you're going to waste your life. Here's the other half. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a while and then vanishes. Now, this is real encouraging. I actually brought something so we can make sure we understand what he's talking about here. This is you. Ready? Gone. There's your life, okay? You mean conception, and then, you know, you got schooling and career and then retirement, and then you're gone, okay? And that's pretty much it. Okay, there's your life. It's just a little, it's a mist. And you're there for a moment, and then you're gone. And I know that's real encouraging, but it doesn't feel that way, does it? I mean, especially when you're young, okay? It doesn't feel that way. But it's so true, and it's amazing how quickly your mist is forgotten, okay? And it's gone. I mean, I was talking to people the other day, and I was like, what are the names of your great-great-grandparents? And they're like, oh, that's not that long ago. Great, great. And one person knew, but they didn't know what, you know, they liked, what they did for fun. We know where they lived. They didn't know anything about them, okay? This was their great-great-grandparents, probably 50 years ago. No idea. their vapor was gone. I mean, I just turned 37, okay? So I'm like 35, 36. That's mid-30s. Now I'm upper 30s, okay? And I'm like, man, 40's almost here. I'm like, I used to have the whole pfft, but now I'm like, I got like pfft left, okay? It's like, it's a little shorter, okay? I know some of you are going, oh, okay, well, then I've got like a pfft, okay? And here's the point, though. It is short, okay? And it is going to go quick, and we're not supposed to waste it. And if you keep waiting for someday to come, I'm going to do something for God someday. I'm going to get closer to God someday. I'm going to spend more time with my kids someday. Guess what happens? A season goes away and a life goes away. And maybe thinking about your whole life as a vapor is too much. Can we at least say this? That whatever season you're in is quick. Whatever season you're in is going to go quickly. If you are in school right now, this is a season that is only going to last about this long, and then you're going to be on to a whole nother thing. If you have kids in your home, I know that the days are long. I have little kids, okay? The days are really long. Sometimes the hours are days, okay? But the years are really short. And then all of a sudden, you're like, they're leaving my house. That time is gone. And it's a vapor. It's quick. We cannot let it pass us by. We cannot waste our time and do that kind of stuff. Our life is a vapor. And then I think James kind of ties this whole passage together, and he says this: anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it sins. There is good that you ought to do. And when do you ought to do it? Now. Today. Now. It's not someday. This was part of the problem with the first thing he said. He says, tomorrow, I'm going to go here, and I'm going to do that, and I'm going to do this. And James is like, why? You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. There's something today. There's good that you ought to do today. Now, yes, have dreams and have plans, and I'm believing great things are coming in your future. But if we don't do what we're meant to do today, we'll never get to those things, first of all. And we're going to miss out on the life and the thing that he has for us. We reverse so much of things in our lives. Okay, we do things like this. We worry about tomorrow and we waste today. Oh, what's going to happen? All this thing. And then today I spend 7 hours on my phone, okay? And we worry about tomorrow and we waste today. We live in the what ifs. You know, what if this happens? What if that happens? What if, well, I can't do anything? Because what if, you know, we got to prepare. And what if? And we live in those what if this happens lives. And Jesus said, back to that Matthew 6 passage, therefore do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of his own. What is he saying? Don't focus on the what ifs, on the tomorrows. What are you supposed to do today? What are you supposed to take care of today? Not saying don't plan. I'm saying that a lot, but not saying that. But what am I supposed to take care of today? We're not just tomorrow. And this is right next to this verse we already read. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. We're not supposed to worry about tomorrow, but focus on what we're doing for his kingdom today. Another way we flip it, we do this. We talk about tomorrow, and we do nothing now. Oh, tomorrow I'm going to do this, and tomorrow I'm going to do that. This is and it's also the when-then life, okay? You know, when this happens, then I'm going to. When-then, okay? When I'm a little bit older, then I'm going to be able to do some stuff. Or when I graduate high school, then I'm really going to do something for God. Or, you know, when I get my first job, then I'm going to be able to. When I make more money, then I'm finally going to start giving. Or when I have more time, then I'm going to get involved. Yeah, you're going to have more time. Live that dream, okay? We live the when-then life, okay? The when-then, and here's the thing. We talk about all that we're going to do when, and we do nothing now. We're wasting now, and that's not the way that we're supposed to live. I didn't make a slide for this one, but I want to humbly talk about this one because, some of us do this. It's not we talk about tomorrow, we talk about yesterday. And the older we get, I think, the more that we do this. Oh, I used to. I used to do this, and we're not doing anything now. I used to. I can't tell you how many times, and I bet you he can tell you this too. Someone will come up to me, and they'll say, oh, yeah. Oh, I used to do in church. I used to serve in the kids. I used to. I used to lead on a worship team. I used to work with youth. I used to lead a small group. I used to be a greeter. I used to. I used to. I hear it all the time. I used to. Oh, where are you doing now? Well, you know, right now is a real busy season, but I'm going to again. But when then, okay, and I used to, okay, and then now this is the part I want to be really humble about because I'm not here, okay? If you're retired, retirement from a job does not mean retiring from God's purpose for you. I actually believe that you are maybe the most fruitful season of ministry of your life when you're retired. And don't think that, hey, I used to do a bunch of great things, okay? Now, I think 20-year-olds have a lot that they can do for the kingdom. They have more time than they realize, okay? They don't have kids yet. They're not, you know, all that kind of stuff. And they have a lot of things. And here's the thing. They may have more energy than you. They don't have the wisdom that you have. And we need that wisdom. And so, hey, if you're retired, don't look back and tell me what you used to do. God's got something for you to do now. He's got, and this could be the greatest time of ministry in your life. But for all of us, let's not talk about what we used to do, what we're going to do. Let's do what we're supposed to do now. That there is something that he has for us to do now. That a life waiting for someday is going to be a wasted life. I like to say it like this. Someday is where dreams go to die, okay? And so does purpose. Because I have never been able, and I've looked at in my calendars, I've never found someday. Okay, I mean, I found a Sunday and a Monday and a Tuesday and a Wednesday and a Thursday and a Friday and a Saturday. But nowhere on there was someday. Okay, and we keep saying, someday I'm going to. Well, what does God have for you to do today? Okay, what does he have for you to do now? Because if we just talk about someday, then we're not going to fulfill the things he has. And I really do believe that there is good that you ought to do. There is good that you ought to do. There is good that you ought to do in your family right now. You're like, oh, you know, someday we're going to do this. Okay, yeah, that's great. What is the good he has for you to do now? There is good that you ought to do. Now, I like to be really practical. So I just want to give you a couple ideas. This is not an exhaustive list. This is a small list. But some good that you ought to do. Here's one. That there is lost people to reach. And I bring it up in this message because of this. You're in a season right now. And there are people in your life right now that you will not be able to reach in the future. High schoolers and junior hires, y'all have a season right now where you're going to be around friends that you will never see again after this. And you can reach them for the kingdom of God now, or you'll never get the opportunity. There are people at your job that are there for a season. I don't know how your job is, but for many of us, they'll be there for a season of your life. It may be many years, but it's still a season. This is your chance to reach them. God will bring people into your life, some of them just for a day. What a short vapor. Okay, only a moment. This week, I got my tires rotated, okay? Guy rotated my tires, and I was talking to him. You know what I did? I gave him a card and invited him to our church. Don't know if he'll come. It was my only chance, okay? My time with him was this short. I'm not going to miss it. So I took a chance to reach somebody, okay? And that's what we got to do. We realize that there are people in your life today that God has put for you to reach. And don't wait. Say, well, someday I'll ask them. Someday. I'll tell you when it is. It's now, okay? It's now. Next Sunday, bring them, okay? And so ask some people, lost people to reach. There's growing for you to do. There's growing for you to work on in your life. You can grow in your relationship with God, and the way to do it is to start today. Have you ever seen somebody spiritually and you're just like, man, I wish I just knew God like them. I wish I could pray like them, or I wish I knew my Bible like them. Have you ever seen somebody like that? Okay, maybe it'll help you relate this way. If you see somebody that's in like really good shape, like amazing fitness level, and you're like, man, I wish I was in that kind of fitness. And you think, you know what? I want that. And then you don't go to the gym, you don't work out, guess what happens? You're never going to be there. 5 years from now, you're going to be exactly the same. But here's the other side of that. It could be a little disheartening because you go to the gym and you work out for 5 days all week long, and guess what? You look in the mirror on Friday and you go, I look exactly the same. In fact, maybe a little worse. I don't even know, but I'm just hurting everywhere, okay? But you go and you do today what you're meant to do, and the next day what you're meant to do, the next thing, and 5 years later, people are going, how do you know your Bible like you do? Because you did what you're meant to do today. You studied his word today, and you grew today, and you decided, you know what? It's not going to be someday that I start bringing my family regularly to church. It's going to be this week. This week's the week. We're not going to miss this week. Well, we had that plan. I don't care. We're not missing. I'm not going to say someday, when things are better, when this league ends, when that. No, now is when we're going to start being faithful and getting involved and doing the next one, which is that there's ministry to do. Many of you are doing this. But all of us need to. There is ministry that you were meant to do. Now, there's ministry in your home, with your family that you need to do to them. But I believe that every person in a local church has a job, has a ministry that they're supposed to be a part of, and that you're supposed to be doing. And there is something for you to do here. I don't know what it is for you because everybody's different. Some of you need to be on the worship team. Some of you do not need to be on the worship team. You can't sing. I'm sorry. Jesus likes it, but we don't want it on the microphone. And so some of you need a worship team. Some of you don't. Some of you need to be a greeter. Some of you don't, okay? Some of you someday will be an amazing small group leader. You can't right now because you need to get in your word and you need to grow and you need to be faithful to a small group and you need to grow up in that. And then in a couple of years, there may be a time we go, you need to be a small group leader. But you started doing today. You started studying. You started being a part of a group and you started doing that. There's ministry that you need to do. Do you know that we have new people every single Sunday? If you're new, hello. new people every single Sunday. And you know what? One of the main things that makes people decide to stay with a church and ultimately see their life changed is if they connect with people, if people are kind and are nice to them. And you want to know how that happens? Somebody, one of you, goes and sits next to them, says, hey, how are you? What's your name? Meets them, maybe invites them out to lunch and does that. That's a ministry that you can do. That you decide, you know what? I'm just going to get here early every time. I'm just going to look around for somebody that's sitting by themselves. I'm going to go talk to him, be friendly. I don't know what the ministry is. I'm throwing things out. Some of you need to serve in kids. Some of you need to do different things. But there's a ministry that you can do and reach people. And it will be, you won't waste a season because you'll be doing things for the kingdom of God. So this right here gives me a lot of joy. Okay. It's a great way to end, right? And here's the thing. Good sound. I love that sound. I see some big smiles out there. The problem is, if I was to pour this out in the wrong place, it's wasted, right? That's a waste. If you spend your life pouring out on the wrong things, it's a waste. And so many of us, we pour our life so hard into things without any thought of what is the kingdom for? What does the kingdom have for me? What does Jesus have for me to do? What do I need to do for the kingdom now? And we waste it. We waste it on the wrong things. And I have seen people with such talent, such ability, waste a whole season of ministry. Things that they could have been doing, lives that they could have reached. They wasted it doing other things. Here's another side to this, though. I could set that right there and I'm gonna leave it. I come back tomorrow and go, oh yeah, my Dr. Pepper. And it's gonna be awful. It's gonna be flat. It's gonna be hot. It's gonna be gross. I'm gonna throw it away. It's wasted. It's good now. There's something for it now, okay? There'll be a new can tomorrow, trust me. And if you just keep waiting to do something for God, keep waiting to grow in your relationship with Him, you are missing a season that you could be doing something with your life. So let's not wait. Let's do something for Him. Let's not waste our life. So the way I want to end our service today, we are going to have an opportunity for prayer. And if you need prayer for anything that's going on in your life, prayer is important. Prayer is powerful. And we want to pray for you for whatever is going on in your life. If you looking at yourself and you're going, I know I'm wasting this season and I'm ready to make a change. One powerful thing to do is to go pray with someone and just seal that in your heart. I'm changing. I'm not wasting my life anymore. I'm not wasting this season. I'm not wasting my time with my kids anymore. I'm not wasting this anymore. And go and pray with somebody about that and let God seal that in your heart. But what all of us, okay, if you don't come for prayer, I want to ask you to do something. We're going to sing part of a song. And while we're singing, would you take just a moment and say, Father, what is it I ought to do? What is it that I ought to be doing? And just listen and let His Holy Spirit speak to you. And if He tells something into your heart, do it now. But ask Him. Okay, don't say, oh yeah, I'll ask Him later when I get home, you know. Later, someday, I'll figure it out. No. What is it you ought to do? Let's ask Him. We just have a few minutes to worship and pray. So let's ask Him. I'm going to pray over all of us. When I say amen, we're going to stand. And if you need prayer during that time, come forward. There'll be people here for you. But let's all just seek the Lord for a moment. Father, I thank You that You love us and You have a purpose and a plan for us. I pray that we will not waste our lives. Lord, I pray that You would make it clear the things that we ought to be doing, that the purposes and the meanings and the things that You want us to seek. And Lord, I just pray that You would direct us and Lord, give us the courage and the strength, Lord, to do it today. And I thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand.